That you go the second mile with the Lord, and I believe that God is going to honor your commitment. I believe He's going to honor your spiritual hunger, if indeed it is based on a hunger for the things of the Lord. I believe God honors that. How many believe God honors that tonight? Praise God. Amen. I'm going to try to do like Brother Taylor did. He stayed within a time frame, and I don't think he left anything out. Praise God. It's possible that I could do that. And thanks for the encouragement, support that I'm getting over here from my armor bearer. Amen. I can just see it. Let's go up at once and reveal ourselves unto them. There's only a million of them, and there's a couple of us for the covenant. And he said, yeah, right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't blame him. It took either the man was crazy or filled with faith. Obviously, he was filled with faith. Amen. Because God granted a great victory. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you again tonight about Asaph out of Psalm 77, a psalm of Asaph. And I want to read a few verses of this psalm tonight and then comment in a Bible study context about it. This morning we really had a prelude to this the reading of this psalm. How many were here this morning to hear that? So we don't have to review a lot about the similarities between Asaph in the Old Covenant and Peter in the New Covenant, praise God, because you find two similar souls, people with real issues and real problems. When I went through nervous exhaustion, I looked for someone going through things similar to mine that God brought through those things, and I couldn't find them on television, per se, because most preachers on TV are not telling you about their personal battles. A few will on occasion, but most of them don't. There's almost an implication that if you develop your faith to a certain particular level, that you really can kind of manipulate your life to your own liking, and you don't have to go through certain things. You don't have to come to an end of yourself. In fact, you don't have to deny yourself, and you do not have to take up your cross in order to follow Christ in their view of what the Scriptures teach. You would have to shut your eyes and read. Amen. And I really believe my dad asked me, you know, my dad's getting ready to celebrate his 91st birthday in just a few weeks now. And he said, how can they read from the same book? I said, are they not intelligent? And I told my dad, I said, you know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But I can tell you right now, well, I'm not. You know, I know it shocks many of you to find that out. But, amen. But listen, you don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed to figure certain things out. It's right there. It's point blank. Stares us in the face. The words of Jesus are very clear, very concise. Can you say amen? I think it was one of those entertainers from the past. It may have been W.C. Fields again. No, it wasn't. It was the guy that did all the homespun stories, Will Rogers. He was looking in the Bible and had this look on his face. And a friend of his asked him, did he have a question? What was troubling him? Was there something that he didn't understand? He said, no, that's not what is bothering me. It's the things I do understand. Can you say amen? Felix trembled because he understood clearly when Paul got through ministering that he was a soul in need of a Savior. And the consequences of rejecting that Savior was something that we don't even talk about today. That's why if I wrote a book, one of the chapters would be Whatever Happened to Heaven. Because you have to go to a funeral to hear a good sermon on heaven, because the church is so earthbound, we don't even talk about our homeland or our home place very much anymore. Amen? We talk about the material world. We talk about the felt needs we have in the immediate sense. And we just don't talk about heaven. We don't even sing about heaven. The second chapter would be, after whatever happened to heaven, would be whatever happened to hell. Because if you listen to preaching for a year on television, you think hell does not exist. That it's a non-existent, fictitious place, that God would send no one there. But the Bible is very clear once again. It's the only other place to go besides heaven. Can you say amen? There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's only heaven and there's only hell. And Jesus talked about hell more than heaven. simply because he wanted people who reject heaven to understand the alternative and the consequences. And we're in a day when it's not in vogue in many circles to talk just like Jesus talked anymore. If Jesus was here, they would try to tone him down in his rhetoric. They wouldn't want him talking like he talked when he walked the shores of Galilee. I want to hear him talking the same way. If there is a place called hell, I want him to warn me about it. How about you? Can you say amen? If it don't exist, then we need to go back to the Bible and find the error. But if you go back to the book, you're not going to find error. You're going to find truth. Praise God. The good thing about this truth is it'll set you free. Praise the Lord. Amen. A wounded spirit cannot find comfort in God. We're gonna talk about this. Let me read the psalm to you. Listen to Asaph and see if you don't hear the despair of a man that seems like he's in a condition of his life. And by the way, you may know somebody that is there, and you may find yourself in this condition someday. You need to know how to recover if you ever get there, because some people are shipwrecked. Some people are destroyed by the enemy before they make it back to the Father's house. We don't want anybody to end up like that. So listen to Asaph's psalm. Amen. Here's this flawed guy that wrote several psalms about his struggles, and I just want to hug him sometimes because I have struggled. Isn't that incredible? That's why everybody relates to Peter so well. Because you figure if God could pull Peter out, there's hope for you. If God could still use Peter, there's hope for the rest of us. If Peter could regain his footing as the Lord loved him and brought him through his shaking times, amen, and go on to not only live for the Lord, but to give his life, to seal his testimony, praise God, then there's hope for every child of God. And the same way with Asaph. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto my God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my... Now I want to stop here, because if I go too fast, we'll miss something. We may have to finish this up with the full congregation on Sunday as we approach Thanksgiving. But I don't want to miss this. I want you to know that God heard him out of his despair, despondency, and discouragement. There is a kind of teaching today that would imply... That if you don't stand in perfect faith and have the perfect confession, God won't listen to you. Let me tell you something about that. You're his child. Amen. You don't have to re-qualify for that. Now, everybody say now. It's not based on the conditions of your life, even the condition of your faith. But if you receive Jesus as your Savior, there's something going on right now. Amen. That is indisputable and irrefutable. Now, we are the sons of God. Can you say amen? We're his children. We're his children. We're not just sinners saved by grace. We have been brought in to the royal family. And we are the sons of God. And the Bible said, by virtue of that, you have all the privileges of being in God's family. And this goes beyond angels. Amen? Angels are the sons of God by creation. We're the sons of God by adoption. Say it with me, adoption. They're sons of God in the sense that he created them. We're sons of God in that he chose us. And he chose us when we were yet in our sins. He chose to love us. Amen. And we're called a chosen generation. Everybody say a chosen generation. The Bible said you didn't choose him, he chose you. And here in his love, you didn't love him initially, but he loved you. Amen. God took the initiative. Praise God. And we're the sons of God, the children of God. And this is a covenant man. This is a Jew speaking. And he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. And he's not talking about anything on his skin. Amen. My soul refused to be comforted. You understand where his sore was now? It wasn't on his body, it was in his heart. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? This man has a wounded spirit. And it's defeating him. But all is not lost. We've got to finish this song. You don't leave him in that state. He said, I remember God. And listen, you'd think now comes this great updraft, this uplift. But he said, I remember God and I was troubled. I complained. Oh, don't miss this. Somebody ought to get a big underline. Take your highlighter out if you don't have a highlighter. Can you say amen and underline this? Amen. Anybody got an eyeliner? No one's got one. None of you guys have one? Don't laugh. I was in a 7-Eleven. My wife and I were going somewhere. I rushed in to get us a couple of cold drinks and she calls them nabs. They're those little crackers, you know. They'll hold you over till you can eat that good stuff. But it'll just get you by, give you a little bit of lift. And I went in and got these two drinks and some of those nabs. And I'm standing in line. There's someone in front of me. And there's a tall, handsome young black man standing behind me. Looked like he just between a basketball player and a football player, because big like a football player, tall like a basketball player. And he was whistling some little tune. I turned around and I had to look up at him, and he had on eyeliner. And so I just kind of looked away, you know, mind my own business. And I made a few steps forward, and I got up before the cashier, and wherever we were going, I just splashed on some cologne, you know, and she said, sir, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, what kind of cologne are you wearing? And he answered for me. He said, he's wearing some of that come and get me cologne. I didn't even want to wait for my change. Here I go. I'm getting these from my wife who's sitting right there in the car. Amen. These are strange days that we're living in. Amen. But if I could bottle some for cologne, amen, and call it come and get me, amen. Well, I don't know if that would sell or not. Amen. I've got joy tonight, not because I haven't been troubled like this man. I've got joy tonight because I found out how to get through that trouble. I got peace tonight because I found that there's a source of peace, and it has nothing to do with the circumstances immediately around your life. I love Jesus tonight, and he loves me. We got a thing going on. Can you say amen? Yeah, we got a thing going on tonight. Praise God. God has been faithful to me. The devil said I'd never see these years of my life. He said he would take me out and destroy me. And for a season, I partially believed that that may be possible, because I thought there must be something wrong between me and my God, or he would come through and deliver me quickly. And there was nothing wrong between me and my God. Can you say amen? But there was a lot wrong with my attitude. Amen. My spirit had begun to be affected by the circumstances of my life when they didn't change after I prayed. When I didn't see what I had preached to others coming like I thought it was supposed to come. And that's why I got a call from Brother Taylor. We had a long discussion the other morning, and he was talking about growing in God. And he was talking about how different the ministry was now than when we were back at the old Holy Church of God. Well, see, between then and now, there's been some valleys to go through with the Lord. You don't grow. I'm going to make a statement here that I believe that I can biblically support. You don't grow on the mountaintops of shouting and victories. You grow in the deep, dark valleys where you discover God's faithfulness, his grace, and his mercy. Can you say amen? That's where real spiritual growth takes place. So don't think it's strange if God doesn't lead you through some of those valleys. But don't fear the evil intent of the enemy when you go through it. For yea! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. And he's with you even when you are not aware of at least the Pentecostal interpretation of his presence. I didn't feel like shouting or dancing. How do you know he's there then if you don't feel goose pimples and your hair don't stand up on end? Because of a peace within. Can you say amen? When that peace comes, believe me, his presence is being manifest unto you. That peace don't just show up as some force in the Star Wars sense. That peace shows up. Or is it the other fella? No, it's not even Star Wars. It's both of them. Amen. He's a Trekkie. He's a spaceman. That's what he is. He's out of his element down here in this world. Jimmy belongs in orbit up there in one of those ships. But we love him here. You can tell him I said so. Praise God. Amen. Listen to this. A wounded spirit. He said, I remember God and was troubled. Why in the world would a man think, oh God, and be troubled? See, if you get deep enough in that horrible pit, your thoughts of God run like this. If you love me, why have you left me here so long? If you delivered others, why are you not delivering me? If you really know the number of the hair on my head, you also know the heartbreak and the fear and the doubt and the darkness that I'm going through in my soul. So my thoughts of God, instead of bringing comfort. Now see, at first it brings comfort, but when the answer doesn't come, and there's pain and pressure. Everybody say pain and pressure. And if pain and pressure last long enough, your thoughts of God are not comforting anymore. They add to the burden. Because I can honestly say I didn't doubt his love, because the cross declares love like the world has never known. But I could honestly say I couldn't feel or find that love in my life for me. I couldn't even find people. You know, normally if you can't feel God, God will send somebody to you. And he'll love you through somebody, because when there's certain emotional states, you can get in discouragement so deep that you can't sense the spiritual manifestation of his presence. You go to a great revival meeting and everybody's having a whoopee time and you're sitting there feeling absolutely nothing. And you're probably the most needy person in the room. Can you say amen? When you're in that state, the most needy person. And the good thing about Jesus, he said, I'll leave the 99 safe. Amen. All the shouting people and all the happy people and the whirling, twirling people. And I will come after the one that is in the deepest need, in the darkest place. He's that kind of a good shepherd God. Amen. But if he can't get to you, at least in the sense of you sensing his presence, he can send somebody to hold you, to love you. That's why my wife and I have learned to do more than pray over people. We try to minister Jesus to people. And that involves sometimes holding them and loving them. Can you say amen? Rather than just telling them to take three scriptures and stand on the word. We need to just love people sometimes. Amen. How do you help people that are that cast down by giving them scripture that and a lot of people know all of that. It's not that they don't know that. It's not that I didn't know it by heart enough to preach it under the anointing. It's experiencing it personally when you're in a deep, dark place. I relate to this man. I've been in a similar place where he was. He said, I thought of God and it troubled me. And this is real crucial in verse 3. I complained. Now, I know no one in here has ever done that. Amen. Amen. You talk about a discipline. What's the Bible say? I will bless the Lord how consistently? At all times. You want something to help you crucify the flesh? Try it. Try it for 30 days. No matter what comes, what goes. Amen. Just try it. I mean, you have to put your flesh on the cross to keep that commitment. Because we have a normal, natural tendency to complain. He said, when I thought of God, it troubled me. It's bad enough when just the thought that he's helped others, why isn't he helping me? And I'm mulling all this over, and it's agitating my spirit even more. But then he said, I opened my mouth and started complaining. He said, that did it. And my heart was overwhelmed. Amen. My spirit was overwhelmed. And then here's this word that shows up when he doesn't want us to go on without stopping to think about it. I said it in the radio broadcast. If it was in music, Selah would be a pause before going to the next stanza or the next group of notes. And before we go on to the next verse, I just want to Selah. When you're that deep in discouragement and despondency, when you start complaining, amen, it just opens the door for the enemy to get into your life like he never could or never would. Did you know Satan is not in the God class? He is a fallen angel. He has no idea what you're thinking. God does. God's omniscient. He knows everything. Don't put Satan in the God class. He isn't. He don't know what you're thinking. He don't know what's going on in your heart. Can you say amen? He can't look in there. God can, but he can't. Sometimes we think Satan is as much a God as God is. It's just a bad God and a good God. Satan is not a God at all. He's a fallen angel. He's not in the God class. But how does he find out where you are? He can hear what you say. Can you say amen? I complained and what happened? What happened then? Did it help? Because he's complaining about how God is treating him. Did it help? No. He said, the moment I complained, he said, my thoughts of God were already troubling because I'm not thinking correctly about him. And I'm feeling like he's done me wrong. And now I complain and my heart, my spirit is overwhelmed. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Whatever is weakening him on the outside, if he's spiritually strengthened on the inside. And where does God deposit the strength anyway? The Bible said be strengthened with all might. Where? Where does he deposit it? In the inward man. As long as that inward man appropriates the strength that is given by the Spirit of God, we can stand, amen, and we can overcome anything. But a wounded spirit is what this man has. Who can bear? Not David. Not him. David knew what that could do to him. And you know what he said to God? I thought when I first read that a particular psalm, and you'll know it when I say it, I thought he was asking somebody to come alongside of him. But as I read it and studied it out, he wasn't looking for somebody to come along and encourage him. He was asking God himself. It was directed to God. He said to God, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, God, you lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from my enemies. Can you say amen? He didn't say, if my heart ever is overwhelmed. He said, when it happens. Because you can't live in a fallen world, in a faulty body, amen, and not have overwhelming circumstances come. Things that break you down and things that tear you up. Oh, I was so glad when I found out I didn't have to be strong and do everything just right in terms of faith in order to get God's help. Praise God. I just had to trust him with everything within me. Praise God. And look to him with everything within me. Believe me, when I'm in trouble, I have no problem looking to God. But when the answer doesn't come quickly, I have a problem waiting on the Lord. That's why I'm one of the best people qualified to teach what waiting on the Lord really means. Can you say amen? Because I've been in that waiting room before. And I wondered, why in the world didn't he deliver me from it? He said, when I complained, what happened? What happened when the children of Israel started complaining about God's provision for them in the wilderness? When they said that they yearned for the flesh pots of Egypt. Did you know snakes? They were going through areas that were so snake infested. Millions. You talk about an infestation of snakes. These were millions of people traveling. Over 2 million. Maybe 2.5 million. Could have been 3 million. But we know over 2 million people were traveling through the wilderness. And they were going through places that were infested with serpents. And not one serpent. Listen, if a dog can't bark, it's no marvel to me when they left that a snake can't bite while they're on their way. God was keeping them. He brought them out. He wanted to bring them in, and he wasn't going to let the snakes hurt them on the way. But something allowed the snakes to bite them. Guess what it was? Complaining. Let me tell you something about God's complaint department. It's closed. Let me tell you what he does with every complaint we send up to him. He tosses it. There must be humongous, but it's bigger than that. It's ginormous. Can you say, man? There must be a ginormous garbage can sitting beside the throne. Why does it have to be ginormous? because of all the complaints he gets. Can you say amen from people that think he's not doing us right, he's not being fair, he's allowing us to go through this, and if he loved us, he sure wouldn't let us go through that. You don't watch out, your own kids will pull some of those things on you. Can you say amen? If you loved me, you'd get me the newest BlackBerry. Amen. Because I can only watch TV and bring up certain parts of the internet, and this has got all of these applications on it. And if you love me, you'd get that for me, because I need that to be happy. And if I'm not happy, it's going to be your fault. That really motivates me to want to run out and buy that for them. Not. And it doesn't motivate God when we complain. What motivates him is when we praise him through our tears and in spite of our fears, and we're determined to not quit him and to keep trusting him no matter what comes or what goes. Amen. We have questions, but we trust him with our heart. We don't lean to our head. Amen. It honors him to know that we will acknowledge him in spite of how we feel and the fact that we don't understand. But when they murmured, every last one of them without exception were bitten with deadly poisonous snakes. Now, honey, it takes a lot of snakes to do that kind of damage to almost 3 million people. Amen. I don't know if they were out there all the time. I never heard of that many snakes being gathered together. But I do know there is an enemy of your soul that will supernaturally try to destroy you, and you are no match for him in yourself. And that's why the cross becomes so vital, and the cross becomes so important, because what was symbolized in casting that piece, putting that brazen serpent, taking a serpent out of brass. Brass has always been a symbol of the brazen altar where judgment was going to fall. Why would we hold up a snake to get people healed of a snake bite? Because Jesus had to become sin in the sense of taking our sin. He didn't sin, but he had to be treated as a sinner. In essence, become as if he had sinned on that cross for you and I to be forgiven our sin. And he said when that symbol of that serpent, and there's a symbol of sin itself, isn't? Before we became a Christian, every one of us had been bitten. And every one of us has the poison of sin that will soon run its course and not just destroy our life, but destroy our very soul. But God has an antivenom. You know what it's called? It doesn't come from another snake. It comes from the sinless blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to know God has some anti-venom for sin's deadly wound? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad, amen, that there is a God in heaven who can hear us even when we're in pain and pressure and heartache and heartbreak and discouragement. There's a God that says, if you'll call on me, if you'll just pray anyway, amen, you don't have to be on a mountaintop to get me to listen to you. Praise God. Just don't quit me, because I will never quit you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, give him a clap offering. There's only a few of us. Make it sound like there's a bunch. Hallelujah. Verse 4 said, thou holdest mine eyes waking. That means I can't sleep. I'm too troubled. Close my eyes and all this trouble runs across the screen of my mind and thinking. I can't sleep. I remember getting 4 hours sleep and rejoicing in the Lord for that 4 hours. I remember that distinctly. I remember closing my eyes, and when I would close my eyes, it felt like I was passing out and going unconscious. And I thought, if I pass out, then I could just pass away. So I closed my eyes instead of going into that sweet, you know, when you're exhausted and doesn't it feel good when your head hits the pillow? Amen. Like Sherry's going to do tonight after the service. Amen. She's amen. And your head hits that pillow and you just go with it. You just say, yeah, let's get it on. Sleep, let's get it on. Mr. Sandman. You don't have to sing. Listen, you don't have to count sheep. See, that's what I couldn't do. Sheep were part of my problem. I got to be honest tonight. I had some bad sheep back then. Not you guys. You're good sheep. Amen. But I had some bad sheep to deal with. And I couldn't count sheep. That made it worse. And I can look back tonight. But when I was going through it, it was the most horrifying, horrible time that I've ever had in all of my life and all of my days. When David talks about the horrible pit, many people can surmise what that was. Circumstantially, I know exactly what it was. And it wasn't the circumstance around him. It was what was happening in him because of that circumstance. Our radio broadcast is about defeating that enemy within. I'm talking about the Lord's Sabbath, the Lord, the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Not just deliver me from the circumstance without, but what that's done, how that's affected me on the inside. Listen to this guy's honesty. That's why he's the Old Testament Peter to me. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. We may have to stop pretty soon tonight, but he said, I'm so troubled I cannot speak. Literally translated, not loosely, but literally. What he's saying is, it's not that I can't talk, because he already said he could do real good at complaining. Isn't that right? So he's not talking about not being, just being mute. What he's talking about is prayer. Everybody say prayer. Prayer. What he's saying is, I'm so troubled and so discouraged and overwhelmed by what's going on and seeming God not coming through. My very thoughts of him just add to my trouble, because he's got a history of deliverance, but it isn't happening to me. He said he loves us by covenant, but I don't feel loved when prayers go unanswered. I can't speak. I can't pray. Prayer seems useless and futile when heaven seems brass when you pray. How many know that? It's hard to just practice the discipline of prayer if you don't believe anybody's listening. Or if they are listening, they're not going to respond to you. For some reason, you're exempted. Listen, this is a terrible place to be. He said in verse 5, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. My spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. If I stop and teach on everyone, we'll never get it all. But we just want to get at a stopping point, and we'll go back and take the verse by verse. I will meditate. Look! I want you to look at something here. Though in those two verses, it's the I will. I will. I will. I will. Praise God. Now you can either let it defeat you, or you can take action. And when you take action, you talk this way. What time I'm afraid, I will just keep giving into it, keep overwhelmed by it. No. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Can you say amen? I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. There's a point where Christians have to get enough of God and enough of holy commitment to him to do something when the trouble comes, not just sit there and complain about it. Again, God has a ginormous garbage can, and he tosses all of my complaints and your complaints into it. Praise God. But every time we praise him and every time we bless his name, he receives it as a sweet-smelling savor. Praise God. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember in days of old. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember the wonders of old. I was doing that this morning. I remember when people used to get healed in their local church. I remember when sinners used to run down and get saved and change their life. I remember one man getting saved in Gordon Street Assembly of God, down the street from me. And 6 months later, having 15 family members or 23, I forget the number, but he got saved and the wife got saved and the kids got saved and the uncle got saved and the aunt got saved and the children got saved and the cousins got saved. Because his salvation was real. Came home a new man. Loved God, served God. And it made such an impact. Other people came to know Christ as their Savior. Because it was genuine. He said in verse 12, I will meditate also of thy work and talk. He's going from complaining to doing what? Talking of God's doings. He said, I'm going to find something God has done. I'm going to tell it. Praise God. I'm going to talk about, amen, all of these things where God has come through. I'm going to talk about those things. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Listen to the tone changing, the tenor changing. Who is so great a God as our God? Seems like somebody else has that up somewhere. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Who is so great as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. And it just goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But I want to read it from a paraphrase. He said, I cry aloud unto God. And he hears me. In times of trouble, I pray to the Lord. All night long, I lift my hands in prayer, but I cannot find comfort. When I think of God, I sigh. When I meditate, I feel discouraged. He keeps me awake all night. I'm so worried I cannot speak or pray. I think of days gone by and remember years of long ago. I spend the night in deep thought. I meditate, and this is what I ask myself. Will the Lord always reject us? Will he never again be pleased with us? Has he stopped loving us? Does his promise no longer stand? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Let me make a statement to you that I just pinned beside that. Doubt is like a dark, threatening cloud blocking from our vision the radiance of the sun. Storms come and go, but the sun is always shining. Can you say amen tonight? I said storms come and go, but the sun is always shining. Praise God. Weeping lasts but for a night, but that night can seem like an eternity. But I'm here to tell you, amen, that joy comes in the morning. If you haven't noticed, I have more joy now than I used to have. Amen. I'm happier now. I'm a happy camper, and I am a camper. Can you say, man, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, a sojourner. I'm camping out here until he comes. Praise God. This is not where I live. I'm camping. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ought to be campers down here. And we ought to be happy campers. Amen. We ought to be happy that this isn't it. Dear Lord in heaven, how can anybody be happy if this is it? And we ought to be glad to know that no matter how deep we get in despair, amen, if we will begin to not just sit and feel sorry for ourselves, if we will begin to take action and we will begin to rehearse the good things of God, amen, it doesn't mean it's going to change immediately on the outside, but it does mean that something is going to begin to change on the inside. How can a man go from that place of despair? Amen. I want to tell you all those principles that are right here in this psalm as we go deeper. And you want to hear the rest of this? Because you may find yourself there. You may know somebody that is there. And I'm going to tell you, coming to church, getting under the Word of God, getting taught what to do when the troubles come, because generally speaking, we've got a patented answer for all these things. You know, just believe God. Just resist the devil. Well, what do you do when you resist the devil and believe God and nothing happens? Oh, well, something will happen if you believe him, because faith just reaches out into the invisible world and brings me anything that I can imagine. Say it, Doug. Yeah, right. God, say it like you said it to me. Say it. Yeah, right. Amen. That's what we ought to be saying in our heart when we hear that junky stuff. It's not how this works. Anybody that's never went through a valley and found out how it works, amen, he's preaching from a mountaintop perspective, that he's implying that if you develop your faith high enough, you can always stay up there. Amen. In fact, God will lead you through valleys in order to develop you and mature you. Amen. Go with him through it. It's worth that dark journey to discover the grace, the love, the faithfulness of God. I don't have any confidence in me tonight. After all these years of preaching and teaching, I have less confidence in myself. In terms of self, you know, Bobby, I'm talking about the man. I have no confidence in me, but I've got confidence in the one that pulled me through. Can you say, man, he's my redeemer, my friend. In fact, I've got a list of things that he is. What time did Brother Taylor quit? 7 o'clock. That clock is 5 minutes past. I'm only 10 minutes past him. Only thing is, he finished, and I got a whole lot more to say tonight. Will you stand to your feet? Are you glad you came tonight? Amen. Do you want to know more about him? Hallelujah. I said something the last time I preached on a Sunday night, and I said about Psalm 103, we're richer than we think. We're more blessed than we know. We have more than we realize. Because we frail, mortal, fallen sinners, in the sense of we were sinners saved by grace, we're rich in the mercy of God. Can you say amen? We are rich in the mercy of God. God is a gracious, merciful God. The only throne that you can go to is the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy. Everything else that God does flows behind qualifying for those two wonderful virtues of his covenant love. Can you say amen? Healing, deliverance, help, it all flows from the throne of grace, where mercy and grace is granted so that we can have petitions answered. We can have prayers answered. He does it in his timing. He does it in his wisdom, in the way he wants to do it, because he never just meets the need, which is the immediate circumstance we're in. He always is concerned about making us more like Jesus through that process. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I love him for that tonight. I'm glad you came tonight. Are you learning anything? Is there any teaching happening here tonight? This is not cut and dried. We're going a little deeper than just the surface of all of this, and we're finding out more about our God. Let me tell you what's going to happen here. They that do know their God, and you're getting to know him, they will be strong and do exploits. Can you say amen? Real strength is coming to people. And we're not just going to sit on that. We're going to use it for his honor and for his glory. Literally, it says they will be steadfast. If you've got a New International, it's very close to the original. They will be steadfast and take action. They won't sit there and just let the devil defeat them and push them on down. They'll be steadfast in their faith and they will take action. I will bless the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I will praise him. I will serve him. Praise God. And once you set yourself like that, whatever it is, God is going to bring you through, because something's already happened right inside of you. Amen? The peace and the power is coming. Praise the Lord. Let's just have that song to quit off on tonight. He knows my name. Praise God. I have a father. He knows my name. Or the other, he knows my name. Praise God. Either one that you can find tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a gracious God. Brother Taylor is preaching tonight, by the way. And he's had some major health events very recently. Continue to just believe God to give him the strength at this stage of his life, because he's not that much older than me, and I'm not going to be ready to be put out to pasture when I'm his age. Amen. I've learned too much. I got some things to say. If I can just find some more good folks like you to listen. Praise the Lord. I want to tell them about the goodness, the greatness of our wonderful God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whatever you choose, let's just praise him for a moment before we leave tonight.